I didn't know that was even. I thought they had retired a while ago. That's kind of crazy.
Oh, you're just going to talk right through the intro. That's okay. What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Off the Air Talk on Powell to the People. Once again, I am joined by the finest cast in all of podcasting. Yes, Deep Cuts. When I want to know what's going on with anything New York City transit related, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on, Keith?
I am good, and it's great to be here with my family once again.
And when I want to talk local TV news, who do I go to? What expert do I trust? Nobody besides my brother, my favorite director, Mr. Mark Powell's in the house. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, fam? What's up, world?
And when I want to talk local New York City real estate, or when I want to talk about issues in the Holy Land, there is nobody I have more faith in the man they call Mr. Eddie Kane Jr. World calls him Derek Powell. His flock calls him the Reverend Doctor Bishop Derek Powell. DP, what's going on?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cipher with the cats. How you guys doing?
I want to address the situation that just happened. You know, we've been doing this for years now. At this point, I would consider all of you professional. So when you see the record light coming on, that suggests that, oh, let us chill and wait until we're introduced before we start having our off-the-air conversations on the air. Now, our audience is expecting a professional broadcast when we do this. And for the most part, you know, you guys are professional, as I've said. You have earned your professional stripes. So what happened?
Well, you said our audience is expecting a professional broadcast. Professionals get paid. Since we're not getting paid, you get an amateur broadcast.
Clap it up. Clap it up. Snap it up.
Anthony, there was a newscaster on Channel 4. I'm not going to mention her name, but she had this problem.
Sue Simmons.
Oh, damn.
It's out there.
She looked and she said, what the fuck is going on?
And...
of us.
Yeah,
but exactly. Getting paid, you know.
Yeah. And what it just popped into my mind, and I didn't think anybody would respond. I thought I had enough time to get it in and bow. It makes your little pad, you know, little list, whatever you got so working over there.
I didn't even see the light go on, so I was, you know, yeah. I thought we were still off air. I usually right. get a, usually we get a, like, you know, a standby and a 3-2-1 type of deal.
Yeah,
you just hit the button. Next thing you know, pow, sure. We're on air.
So, exactly.
Allow
me to retort. You said, let's get this thing started.
Yeah. And usually right, you say, so, hey, I'm about to hit record. Doesn't he, fellas?
I didn't hear it neither, Mark.
Did you hear Keith?
Say it. Nope.
Okay.
There's a countdown button right on the thing. Y'all can see the countdown.
Usually you say, I'm about to hit record.
Did y'all not see the countdown?
So 3/4 of us didn't hear that. No, but 1/3 is going to be right.
I thought I was able to squeeze it in, like I said. I know you want to chastise us. I get all. We know you the boss. Supervision. And we get it. But, man, we had to get that out there because he was one of the all-time greats. And that was your team. The last time they won was 86. So I figure you want to talk about him. You got your orange shirt on. Look like you got the colors. So, you know, man, we're trying to help you out.
All right. Okay. Well, again, I'm glad we you know, have gotten this out of the way. I just want our audience to know that we take care of all family business. Sometimes, usually we take care of it in-house, behind the scenes.
And since usually y'all we get a standby.
Our business public, you know, in this particular way. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, Anthony, they know we keep it 100, right? We keep
this
it real.
This is true. Okay. All right.
Keep that's it in a enough. Buck. We keep it in a buck with them. They feel us on that, you know. It's no big deal. It ain't get you sidetracked or nothing like that. You're a professional. Get back on your game, man. You get your shot blocked, you go back in there, right?
These are facts. So since I got my shot blocked, and since we're talking basketball, since I'm wearing orange,
pump your brakes. That's for the Mets. Pump your brakes. You ain't talk about these boys all year.
I've been down with the Knicks all year long.
Oh, God damn. I can't. This is why we lose.
This Earth 616 on this planet. Yeah, this. What are you talking about?
This just ain't right. This ain't right. I don't like this
game. And all of a sudden, he's back on the Knicks bandwagon.
you know, because we snagged the 50
second
piece
seed. That's right, the second seed. I was watching. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, yo, do this thing. Now, mm-hmm. personally, if it was me, I would have settled for the third seed so I'd have a better way across. But, you know, I mean, listen, nah, we second could. Seed is great.
When you're the best, you got to beat the best. You want to go through the best. So whether that's Miami or the Philadelphia 76ers who are playing in the CYO play-in league tournament, we got to go see them. You know, that's what it is. Y'all know what the CYO, like round robin, that's all they doing. It's a round robin CYO, you know.
You clearly understand why we had to go to essentially almost relegation. I mean, we're missing the MVP who was playing better than he did last year. You guys had, I know you guys did lose Randle.
Exactly.
And
we kept doing what we do.
But if squad for squad was healthy throughout, there's no way in the world the Knicks would have had a 2 seed. Even with Randle.
We lost Robinson and Randle.
And Randle. And OG. And OG.
Oh, wait, you count Robinson as a real player? Not just somebody who's there?
No.
There's a lot of starting centers in the league. But who
he holds down the middle, his defense, rebounds. If and then you got Sixers, OG.
If Embiid was, which we never does. I mean, Embiid is a 62-ish player all year. I mean, mm-hmm. games played. Right. But in the world of, you know, video game basketball, if the Sixers were fully healthy all year long, there's no way in the world they would have been a 7 seed in the play-in. They would have probably
had 4 or 5.
Because when they went out, I think they were they were 3 because at that point Milwaukee was playing well until they, you know, got rid of their coach playing well and hired somebody else.
They got the coach. They were 3.
They were trending well. I mean, and then obviously Embiid gets the torn meniscus and they essentially hold on. But think he got back. I think on a 8 or 9 game heater right now. So
yeah, mm-hmm. they're playing well with him back.
Right. All I'm gonna say is a lot of ifs in that conversation there. Boy, if Donkeys had wings, they fly. I mean, the fact of the matter is,
didn't he do in Shrek? I think Donkey's flying in Shrek.
Oh my God.
You said you were happy to be a 3 seed because what's the path if you guys were a 3 seed? What's the
Pacers.
Theoretical path?
Pacers.
I don't like that matchup for the Knicks. I don't like that. To me, the Pacers with that Haliburton, man, he's a problem, man. And then they just go up and down. They wear you out. If they hitting shots,
it's
going to be a long night. But if they missing, you got a shot, man. But they've been hitting, man. They ain't in the play-in. They've been hitting. They've been balling, man.
Yeah, they scored.
And ever since they pick up Siakam from over in Toronto,
right.
Yeah, he's got championship pedigree. He's got a chip over there in Toronto, so I didn't want to see them, and then Toppin going to have a grudge. He going to want to do well. We don't need all that right now. We don't need all that.
Yeah, but
give us, you know, either Miami, who I think we can beat. Philly scares me because Embiid is well-rested.
That's the lineup right now. Right. That's where it's set up to go.
But it's going
to
be one or the other. I'd rather go with, I'm hoping Miami gets by and we get to play them. But you still can't count out the other seeds they got to play. You know, who knows? Atlanta might pull it out, you know? So we'll see.
Any given night.
And, you know, we done been handling the Bulls like, you know, like they owe us money, you know, so it don't matter.
As I said, a couple of decades Knicks are, too late.
Just say the Knicks. I'm not letting none of this slide.
Wow.
I'm not letting none of this slide. What do you mean?
Come on, man. You know that's not your team, man. You
it's
know,
been my team. Who else I'm rooting for?
I'm surprised he got a Nick cap on his head. He got a Nick cap on the Nick. Around his neck or something.
Yeah, we don't want none of that. We don't need none of those that bad vibe spirit over here, Keith. We want to just keep it 100 with us, you know.
All right. You know, you had a shot again every year. You do this, and you doubt my fandom, and it becomes a problem. So
yeah, you the problem.
Well, look what you did to the Nets.
I'm not.
They traded everybody. Ben ain't playing. You know. You know, they done fired another coach over there. What the hell, man?
Ever since you've been on the band. Who's a Nets fan? I've never been a Nets fan. I don't think I've even been to a Brooklyn Nets game.
Listen, you sure you didn't go with you didn't go with Auntie? No?
I have never gone to a Brooklyn
I thought you
Nets
was up
game.
In there with Auntie one time.
I have never been to a Brooklyn Nets game.
No, man. I thought
she was a Knicks game. Okay, so there you go.
Fact, I thought you was there.
Last time we was in the championship, I was there.
Okay, I thought you was up in there. Okay.
Because you know what? I'm a Knicks fan.
No.
What do you mean no?
Go with Philadelphia.
You keep saying no.
Go
no.
with your brother. Go with your brother, man. Please, man.
Oh, he'll be one if they win.
Fair weather fan. You don't know about the struggle and the suffering. You know nothing about that, Keith.
I root for the Jets. Of course I know about suffering.
Well, stay over there with the Jets. Jets, Nets, and Nets. Isn't that a run? time. Jets, Mets, and Knicks. Jets, Mets, and Knicks. That's your squad.
I can't root for the Mets. Never root for the Mets. Although,
I'm a Met fan.
No.
He's been a Yankee guy.
But then you say you and your buddy went over to the new stadium to see the Mets?
It's a very nice stadium.
I thought you were a Met fan.
Okay. No, I got a chance to go. I was invited by the owner at the time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what we did. But I'm not gonna root against him in his boot in his box.
Now, what did you wear? Did you wear a Met hat or your Yankee stuff?
I did not wear my Yankee stuff. That's like a fact.
With that chick wore the Baltimore hat.
I did not wear the Yankee hat that time.
What hat did you wear?
I didn't have a hat on.
Did you have on a Met, any sort of Met paraphernalia? Let me just wrap this up.
I didn't have any Met paraphernalia on.
Okay, nothing. Cool.
I didn't wear the orange shirt. So okay.
Uncle was a Met fan. Me and him both was a Met fan until they fired Willie Randolph. Then we left them and been with the Yankees.
Became Yankees. Yeah, I know.
Because we were the city field.
Y'all are like switching. I mean, you're not a true Yankee fan. I mean,
No. I was a Yankee fan first. And then in fourth grade, Miss Armadella made us watch the Mets. Then I became a Met fan. That was until they screwed Willie Randolph. And now
what did they do with those guys?
Later for y'all, and I'm going back to Yankee. I've been a Yankee fan ever since.
All right, fair enough. It is good. I think we mentioned in this playoff push, one Glenn Doc Rivers, who apparently is a goddamn jinx. He's the what's that guy? What's that character in I think it's Goodfellas where the guy, the loser, the Bush comes in.
And they gambling. He's like, get out of here. Right.
That seems to be what Glenn Rivers is, Doc Rivers is, because they fired Darvin Ham, correct?
No.
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian
Griffin. Adrian Griffin had a winning record.
34 and 13,
which is that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, there were probably some chattering and some chirping in
Giannis.
It was Giannis.
Yeah.
Okay. With the brother. With the brother.
Giannis hired the coach and then fired the coach.
Yeah. Giannis and the brother.
He fired what guy's name? Budenholzer. Won the championship with him. Fired him.
Budenholzer.
Hired Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And then fired Griffin. So I know we're killing Doc, which I can easily kill Doc because I watched it the last 4 years. But
you saw him with the Clippers.
Giannis is the one who's pulling those strings because they're not doing anything that's going to make that guy even think about being slightly upset. So he fired, two coaches in the span of less than a year.
Sure.
Yeah, because he fired him at the end of the year and then this guy was going, so that's on Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three coaches in a year and a half is a lot for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like starting.
So let's leave the Milwaukee conversation alone. Philly, as you pointed out, Mark, had a championship pedigree level team. They were up on Boston last year. And what happened?
Up on Boston, spit the bit. Up on what's that boy's name?
Atlanta
spit the bit.
And that's not counting when he had a trio of Chris studs in Los Angeles. So with the one exception of the one chip in Boston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One chip. Went to finals twice, won 1, lost 1. I think the second one was 7 games.
I'm not even sure.
Here's what he always says about the second one when they lost to the Lakers, is that he didn't have a fully healthy squad. I think Big Perk, when Perk was a decent player, was hurt that series. But quite frankly, he's been living off that one kind of magical run for the last, I don't know how many years. Because after that, he didn't do anything with the Clippers. Never got to a I don't think they got to a conference championship with the Clippers.
No, never got to a conference.
They always got knocked out.
Got to Philly, didn't get out the second round. Mm-hmm. Gets to Milwaukee, and
they have a winning record. And they have a losing record.
Yeah, he's great on television, but I think some guys, either the message is stale, or sometimes I think the game passes them by on the court, like in the locker room. He because analyst wise, he's great.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes the locker room may pass a dude by. It's happened to many a coach who has won something, and at some point, it just guys don't kind of vibe with it. And they're going to have to, I think, get to the finals. Otherwise, Giannis is going to be chirping again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he gets multiple opportunities after ruining multiple chances. Not teams, but chances.
Yeah.
And a guy like Mark Jackson can never get another job, it seems.
Mark pissed off somebody high up.
Y'all know who? Y'all know who he pissed off? We don't want to say it and we get jammed up, you know? But
I type it in the chat. I don't know who.
Alphabet.
Oh,
the Alphabet community. And when he was in Golden State and he said some things, and remember on that bench was the big fella Collins who lives that lifestyle.
Right.
And he was
That's who he was, yeah.
Yeah, I do know what he said in Golden State.
He is. I mean, that's who he is. I mean, he's not living. There's no lifestyle. That's who you are. You either are or you're not.
That's Tony Powell, y'all. That's Tony Powell.
I'm saying that gay is not a lifestyle. You either gay or you're not gay.
Okay. All right. Well, the big fella over there.
Or unless you're in prison, in which case you're temporarily gay. You know.
Well, the big fella over there. He was voluntarily gay. Because remember, there was a time. Sorry, audience. It's the supervisor doing all this nonsense today. There was a time where Mark was really heavy into the Christian and the
religion.
He still is. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and they praying, and he was absolutely, from what I heard, kind of really dogging out the gay community. And you got Collins, who's on the staff, and he's gay. And it got back to the owners. Then he threw Jerry West out of the practice.
Yeah, we know that on good authority that happened. At all.
Right. But what's bad, in my opinion, is that they hold this against him forever.
Right.
How much longer must Mark pay? And it's like it's a lifetime ban that's not down, that it's not in writing.
Yeah,
no matter who he interviewed for, he can't get a job.
Yeah, I think because with the Knicks deal, I think the quote was out of Jeff. It was funny. It was his boy. I think Jeff Van Gundy said, you know, I think less prayer and more, basically less prayer, more action. Because I think it was he had a prayer group along with Charlie Ward.
Mm-hmm.
It was another player. There was another player in his thing. Yeah. And I forgot who it was. And they were all like praying. And I think Van Gundy probably after, you know, a stretch of not doing so well. Said something to that effect. Now, that's his boy. Him and Jeff go back.
Yeah, tight. Real tight.
But
yeah.
I think the real hang-up wasn't that, because that was a player deal, was the coaching deal. He kicking out the logo and then saying those things or whatever he said about the letter brigade. Right. Now, here's the – watch him. But no, it's not in trouble. Him saying this about the letter brigade, I don't have a problem with the standpoint if this is what his faith is telling him is – the realism, then he can say it. I disagree with it. But if he's truly in his faith, and for all intents and purposes, he is, then he's not saying anything in his mind that's belligerent or that's negative. He's just saying what he believes. I disagree with it. But he's not he's not out there like spewing some kind of crazy venom. Because if you asked him, he would probably say, I don't have any venom towards the gay people, this is just what I believe, and that's all I'm saying. And
yeah, I that didn't work out well for Reggie White either.
No, it doesn't because no matter it doesn't work out because people can't separate the two. There are things that I feel emotionally that I can't reconcile intellectually, but he's saying this thinking, you know, I'm speaking a truth. But he probably doesn't believe that he's saying anything negative, which he clearly is, because if you're saying some kind of crazy things that are like, you know, accusing him of something or just really hurtful things, you could be in your mind right and still be wrong and still be hurtful. And I don't think he was one of those guys. I don't think he's one of those guys that could back off and say, you know what, I may have said some things that are blah, 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 but I wasn't. There was no hate in my heart. It's just
was it malicious?
What my teachings are.
Right. And you know what's crazy though? They allow him to broadcast games on even TV. Though, right. That's what's crazy. He's like the lead commentator with Jeff and Mike Breen and them for many years until this season, of course, at ESPN let some folks go. That's why I just could never understand it. I'm like, I understand, you know, he said some things, but ESPN and ABC were able to move forward. But that coaching, that general, that ownership community is having none of
it. Yeah, no, he was clearly clearly blackballed. I mean, you know, and he couldn't get a job and you know, at one point they were talking about Kenny Smith, you know, perhaps when they were looking for a new Knicks hire.
And I think wants to myself, be a GM.
I mean, you know, but still, yeah, well, you know, again, those guys understand the game. I think Kenny is in a better position being one of the lead voices on TNT and doing NCAA basketball for CBS. Checks are clearing, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know,
I wouldn't leave that
being fired over some nonsense. Yeah, I mean, that's a good gig.
But Doc Rivers, we were talking about, like, Mark was saying, he always had good teams, but he never would adjust to what the game is bringing to him. He would remember he was up 3-0 with the Clippers.
Lost.
And he only had to win one game. But never adjust. Even with Philly, he never adjusts. He just continued the same run. So this is the problem. He runs. Now he goes to Milwaukee. Milwaukee is winning. And he comes, but he doesn't adjust anything. He's just letting them do what they want to do.
Well, he also trying to keep that check coming. He makes any adjustment that Giannis don't approve. Oh my God, he knows he knows he's out the door. When you can fire Bud with Bud's record, I understand Adrian. He's new. He ain't relating to the players, so he said. But Coach Bud, he had a nice career going on there. But when you are not getting along with the scrubby brother, because that's what the brother is, scrubby, you know, and God forbid. You get on his case in practice, who you need to get on his case, you're getting out of there. So, you know.
So why he never made it? He was supposed to be in the G League, basically.
What?
Well, G League or either further down. And you bring another player.
Wherever Giannis wants him to be.
In the L there you go. Or the M or the NOP League. That's how far down he is.
Back to Griffin.
Way past G.
He's, you know, Giannis hired him.
Sure.
And but there's also something going on with Griffin. Because remember, the beginning of the season, before the season started, I'm drawing blanks. And he got the Stout, the coach who used to coach Dame and
Terry Stotts. Terry Stotts
left, sort of like out of the blue, like I'm out of here. So something happened. There was something going on with Griffin that the team kind of like, oh man, maybe this ain't going to work out. But then they played essentially well enough that the record says otherwise. But there was always. When a coach like that just leaves and nobody knows why, I mean, the rumor was he kind of talked him out of, you know, kind of treat him like a boy in front of all these men. And Terry said, "I don't need this. What do I need this for? I'm not second row coaches like you look at the NBA coaching line. Right. You got the first row and the second row. I'm not one of these guys. You know, I had a team. You know, I was in the NBA Finals, conference finals. So he's like, I'm out and."
I like that point, but there's another common denominator there that Terry, you know, what if Adrian was getting on Dame who ain't playing no defense out there and Terry didn't want to have it? Because remember, you trade, you get Dame and you move Drew, who played all the goddamn defense, who made open shots and create shots. That is a big drop off, even though Dame is bringing nothing but buckets. So maybe Adrian's like, nah, you got to get up on that pick and roll. You got to show yourself. And, you know, Terry, you know, Schultz is talking to him and he's like, nah, man, I ain't trying to hear that. He gonna have to play some goddamn defense over here. So you move Adrian out. He still ain't playing no D. When you watch them play in the playoffs, watch them play against the Pacers. Watch how many times they put him in the pick and roll.
Oh, I would every single time.
Exactly. It's every like, yo, you play. Ain't guard nobody.
No.
And that's what happens, man, because I was like, that's kind of, you know, unusual that you got a record like that. And Dame is a seasoned vet, but you still got to play D. And everybody knows Dame is, from watching. Played, and he's,
Dame is, England, the only D England. That Dame knows is the first letter of his name. That's the only D he knows.
It's true. It's facts.
Oh, God. That's true. Yeah.
Speaking of coaches, Coach Cal, John Calipari, is no longer the head coach at Kentucky.
Jake Sui.
Yeah, he's John Calipari, who was down in Kentucky and has provided the league with a bevy of stars.
He's a
tax.
He was the pipeline, you know, for a lot of blue chip five star recruits at Kentucky. But it reached a point where guys could no longer stay, could no longer keep guys for more than a year. So it was one and done every single year. The recruiting became more and more difficult, and because you're getting one and done, you're not getting any team building or team cohesion.
Right.
And it became very tough for him to compete. And so now he's taking the John Calipari show to Arkansas, over to Fayetteville, Arkansas. I've been to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
To Kentucky.
Which town-wise? I've never been either. Which town-wise would you rather be in?
Lexington or Fayetteville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. I would go to Southeast DC before I'd go back to Fayetteville. No, actually, Fayetteville was not bad. Fayetteville is okay. It's a college town, believe it or not, it's deep in the Ozarks, college town, western part of Arkansas, college town that is surrounded by the rest of Arkansas. Same thing with Lexington. Lexington is a college town, it's the home of the Kentucky Derby. Right. It is. Urban, I guess, as you know, and Louisville, between the two of them, as urban as Kentucky is going to get, but just outside of those towns is the rest of Kentucky. But given my druthers, that's a jump ball.
Wow, is that bad?
It's not horrible. It's just that you in Arkansas, you know, you in Arkansas. You know, every place you go to got big rebel flags. You know you in the Deep South.
Wow.
And the same thing with Lexington. Like, people don't realize, and I tell people all the time, you know, we see, they show in the news, they show the inner city, and they show poverty in the inner city. And then sometimes they'll show us foreign poverty, like the poverty in Central and South America. If you really want to see poverty, there's two places in America you can go. You can go to Appalachia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the hills, where the so-called hillbillies live, West Virginia, Southwestern Virginia, Eastern Tennessee, and Eastern Kentucky. It is the poorest places on the planet. Or Mississippi as well. Or you could go to a Native American reservation out west. But I'm talking about, like, abject, like, crushing poverty, just insane poverty.
Wow.
So, as I said, in a place like Lexington, Kentucky, you know, it's the home of the Kentucky Derby, home of the University of, and so it's not bad. It's as urban as Kentucky is going to get, and the same thing is true of Fayetteville. Just like Little Rock, Arkansas, is as urban as Arkansas is going to get. Fayetteville has a little different feeling because it's the town is focused on the college. It's Razorback country. And so you get all that college town vibe. And college towns, generally speaking, you guys have been to them, generally speaking,
well, they're bubbling.
They're fun. They're okay. So they're both, like I said, it's a jump ball. It's just that I can't stand Kentucky and I'm not a big fan of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, one thing I will say about Coach Cal that I've always had, an affinity for, is that he's never kind of misstated his goal. I mean, when he said it 1,000 times when he's at Kentucky, you know, these kids coming, I know I got the one and done's, and I'm pretty sure he wants to win more championships. That's just for his own ego. But he's put a bunch of guys in the NBA. They're going there to, he knows, listen, you come in here, you're all you got to do is work class for 2 months, I think. If you 2 months, and then if you don't show up again, what do I care? You go in the league next year. Yeah. I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm not going the whole ruse of student athlete. He doesn't even play that game. He's not literally said that because that would be career suicide, but he's kind of implied that with a strong wink, wink. Listen, I know you're not here for school. I know you don't care anything about it. If you want these one and done guys, come here. I'm all about it. And that I at least have no problem with him because he's not faking you out. He's not going, hey, you know, my student athletes and that student athlete crap, because those guys, when you go to school, those big time schools, you're not a student athlete. You're an employee who happens to take an occasional class, because those are full-time jobs. I mean, I know, you know, that's especially at the big level. I mean, I just watched, when I watched Preston play, he wasn't at the big level, but that's a full-time job, the commitment you have to do to these schools. And then, by the way, they want you to, you know, take a test and write a paper and go to class. It's like, listen, I'm here to play ball. Now, if I happen to get a degree, good for me. But that is not my stated goal.
Yeah. But you know what's more? You know, with the new, with the NIL,
NIL, yeah,
with, name with the kids like and stuff. That's another thing that's not keeping the kids in the college programs. If you're a blue chipper, like we talk about, in the top 10, you know you're going to go to the NBA. And if you're a coach and this is what you're going to get, you know the guys are going to leave. So your program can never grow, because they're going to leave. You got to get those other guys that's going to be there for another 2 or maybe 3 years. You can get something out of them. But if you're getting them top guys, you're going to lose. And that's what Kyle Perry always get. The top, you know, guards or power forward or center, them guys stay for a year. And they're gone. This year, I think he has 4 guys that probably go in the first round.
Yeah, easy. 4 guys. That's and I can't name not one of those guys. Can anybody here on this podcast name any of those guys?
Well, let's get that. He's got the guard, and I think the last name is Shepherd, where his father used to play.
Right, really? Yeah.
This little point guard, yo, he better than the mother, man. Oh, my God. You're talking about a pure point guard who can shoot that rock? That's this kid right here. Right. You know, but what he has done, because my friend's son went there, and he stayed 2 years and wound up going to the league. When you go there, like you said, you know. But now, with the way the transfer portal is working, where I can transfer A, B, and C and be eligible right away, as long as my grades are good, I don't have to send out that mandatory transfer period. A lot of the schools he played against, the kids are older and they're stronger and more mature and been in a college
NC
system.
NC State, yeah.
Yeah, you see that? That DJ Burns guy. It's like, yo, these guys are men. And now he's getting, sad to say, true freshmen. So you're getting kids at 18 and 19, and when it comes up, you playing against a 23, 24, sometimes 25-year-old. That's a man. That's a big difference. And they're not ready to handle that. So that's why I'm thinking, he said, the pressure, I only want, because he only got one chip there.
Yeah. Right.
And that's when he had AD in him. So now he's saying, let me go to Arkansas, like Keith was saying, and I can keep a kid, develop him. Yeah. I can get bigger and stronger to compete. Because this one is done, is not competing any longer with the transfer portal.
I think it's a smart move on his part, just based on what you said. Because again, Arkansas is not a basketball powerhouse, you know, and has not been a basketball powerhouse since Nolan Richardson left. They haven't really been a competitive spot. So now you're not going to get the 5-star blue chipper, top 10, top 25 recruit. He may get one or two of them just on his name.
Right.
But you're going to get some 4-star caliber athletes, and you're going to get some guys who will stay for a year or two, which will give you a shot to compete past at least the first round or the second round in the NCAA tournament, which is what the colleges want to see. And Arkansas is going to say, well, shoot, if we can just make it to the Sweet 16, we good. You good. And they sign him for a big-time deal, and so he's going to be fine. Staying on basketball, WNBA draft is tonight. Your thoughts, fellas?
It's going to be very interesting. Put it this way.
Go ahead, Keith.
You got Kalen.
It's a sucker move, though. That's a real sucker move. That's a real sucker. You know, you need to stay sucker free. But go ahead.
Well, we know Kalen's going to the Fever, Indiana. But after that, I say the young lady from South Carolina and Angel Reese.
Yeah.
I think the Stanford girl is supposed to be going second. I forgot her name now.
Second?
Right. Yeah, I think that's who's saying.
She's good. The girl from Stanford.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a loaded draft. This year, WNBA is loaded. So they got a lot of talent. And it's all depending on what you want.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, and I'm going to address it because, you know, I ain't afraid of nobody. Ain't nobody kicking no ass around. The reason why he said that, Keith, you wasn't on yet. You know, I said, well, you know, I wonder how folks are going to be dressed. And that's where he wants this conversation to go. So I'm going to take it there. So I said, you know,
are you volunteering something?
We having a conversation. That's what the podcast is a conversation. Okay. And I'm saying that the ladies are coming out with dresses and heels tonight. Remember, it's at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. There's no more tickets. It has sold out. It's a beautiful day. It's still 71 on my computer. It's 71. The hair's going to be out. The lipstick is going to be on. And I think the dresses. A lot of chocolate. A lot of chocolate from these two guys. And I think that the dresses aren't like gowns, but they're over the knee because they work out and they want to show they got goodies too. That's what I'm saying. But they were saying, and I don't want to, you know, they said, oh, I think suits. I said, no, nobody's doing pantsuits. We're not doing that this year.
No.
We're in Brooklyn, New York.
It's going to be prom night.
I don't think they're wearing gowns. You think so?
No. Well, I don't know what girls, they don't wear gowns dresses, anymore. They're going to be wearing dresses, like, it's going to be a lot of form, because they're all in shape. They're going to be a lot of form-fitting dresses, right. Some heels. And they're going to look as dolled
somebody
up as they can
Jordans.
Look.
Somebody said Jordans.
I said Jordans. I said, yeah, they're going to be a bunch of them wearing.
They don't wear no Jordans. I'm not going with that.
I would take that bet in a hot top. Absolutely.
Jordan 1s, OGs, the high tops.
They can't.
No.
Too
they're going to.
Man, it's 70, man.
They're going to be doing all that. But I think they will dress up as much as they can. They will doll up as much as they can. Some of them won't make a difference. But they
what
will.
What does that mean? We just want to.
Listen, some of them, there's some rough trade in some of those girls. I mean, we sitting there, but it's no different than the men's draft. I mean, not like a bunch of models walking down these runways. You see some rough dudes too, but the women is because of the nature of us. They're going to doll it up as much as they can. They're going to have a lot of hair. Some may be left in the limousine. Some may be left in the floor. A lot of nails. A lot of eyelashes. I mean, a lot of hair everywhere on that stage. So,
oh my goodness!
But
so you're saying the look, they're gonna be channeling their inner RuPaul, is what you're saying?
It's gonna be a lot of that. It's gonna be like La Caja Falls. Gonna be a lot of that going on. Because, quite frankly, some of them when they dress, I say this: the women when they dress up with all these eyelashes, write me all you want. The women when they throw on these tarantula eyelashes and the Diana Ross weaves and all, they tend to dress like men who dress in drag think women look like. So, and my thing is, you take away all the things that you're supposed to be attractive because you're so, you're a caricature of what a woman is. I mean, because you look at these women, there's no woman that you've ever seen in real life that has eyelashes that are that big or, you know, the crazy makeup and the hair is all down. Yeah, there we go. And it's my cousin's mime and the baby hair. So they it's an over exaggeration of what their looks are. So it distorts it. That's why men who dress in drag do all that because they're covering up, you know, facial hair and bone structure and trying to soften their image. But for some reason, I don't know what happened in the last.
Try to hide that Adam's apple.
I don't know what happened in the last X amount of years. You watch any show, it's way over the top with the lashes, way over the top with the hair. The makeup is caked on, so they look crazy. So you're like, it almost reminds you of I'm gonna get you, sucker, when a lady kicks off the leg and the hair. That's what it's like.
Reality TV
right.
has taken it right. there,
right.
where yep. that has, you know, they showing the Real Housewives of all the states, you know, that when you see them, and they overdo it over the top, and people think that's fashionable, so that's translated
not.
Now.
Not.
We know that we don't, yeah. we're not attracted to that, but they have taken it there, and that's what you're seeing now. And you're going to see some of that tonight. That's definite. That's definite.
Mark, when you're grown, when you're grown, you don't have no baby hair in the front of your head.
None at all.
That's gone.
None.
That's when you're a baby. That's why it's called baby hair.
Slicking it down.
Said, TV has messed up what women think they should look like.
Sure. Yeah.
They should look like these. No, you look like a woman with or without makeup. You're still supposed to look good. But when you start throwing on all this extra, you know, hair and eyelashes and whatever, you're taking away from your natural beauty.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and that's the sad part about it because, you know, when we were growing up, we had no women wearing weaves. Either wore wigs.
Or the lashes, braids, the tarantula lashes.
None of that stuff. They were naturally beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They had the sporty DC haircuts back in the day. That's what I like. short sporty dudes. Yeah, I mean, you know,
when Anita Baker haircuts like that.
Yeah,
shit.
Like Barry here, the shorter. Yeah.
Yeah,
makeup is supposed to enhance what you have, not supposed to create it. Because I've always told my boy, you got to judge how they look without makeup, not all dolled up, because that's not, you know, what do you look like stripped down?
When you then wake you up. When you wake up.
Yeah, when you put some makeup on, it just it enhances what you look like. It's just sort of, that's, when you get dolled up, that's the sort of thing. That's just supposed to enhance all your things, not create this image. And I work in television, and there's a couple of people who I, there's a lady in D.C. and there's one in New York who, you see them without the makeup. Oh, I would never say the names. You see them without the makeup and it's unrecognizable. That's how much it is on. And there was one lady I remember when I first started working in D.C. I was it was called a script ripper. So I'm there handing out scripts to the director. And I was like, hey, where's X? And he's doing this. I'm like, where's she's not here yet. I didn't recognize her. She didn't have she didn't have anything on. She could have robbed me. I did not recognize her because she would the look that she puts on was completely different than what she was sitting there.
I can concur on the TV makeup change because there's a lot of, you know, and they're known for that, like the hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. But you see some of these people before makeup.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, oh my God. What the, oh, you all right? You know, I didn't know you were sick. Okay. So it's not cancer. All right. Well, all right.
Damn.
Get that makeup chair then.
You ain't lying. What you got? You ain't lying, Drew.
No, I'm not. I'm not making it up, man.
Goodness.
Before we move on, I definitely want to send our condolences, our deepest condolences to Khloe Kardashian on losing her father.
You and your son.
And Corey. Corey said it too?
Yeah. Khloe lost, she done lost three fathers.
I'm not laughing.
Sure.
There she is. Bruce, Jenna, now OJ.
The juice.
OJ Simpson died from complications of cancer over this past weekend. And,
he died from prostate, right?
Prostate cancer.
That's what they said,
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know. I mean, you definitely got to get checked out. You definitely, you know, you would think, though, he was in jail for a few years. Somebody would have checked it.
That's the juice, man. Come on.
I mean, and that's really what it is. There's two O.J. Simpsons that people of a certain age have to reconcile. There is there's football player O.J. and Naked Gun O.J. and Hertz Rent-A-Car O.J. And then there's Post Bronco O.J.
Right.
And you know, for a lot of people, they, you know, we have no semblance or no sense of what he was as an athlete. And I'll just say, you know, on our podcast, as an athlete, as a football player.
Yeah.
He was peerless. There were few people that could hold a candle to O.J. Simpson running the football. I'm just sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, he put up 2,000 some odd yards in a 14-game season.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, he was a man.
I think he rushed for like 270 some odd yards in one of those games. I mean, that's just
in Buffalo.
Hard to do. In Buffalo.
And it's cold. Freezing.
Yeah. Cold.
There was no pass game. You got to stop him. And they couldn't.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't stop. The whole game plan is, all right, there's 11 people on the other side. We only concerned with one of them. And they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that guy was amazing. Now, you know, I mean, the Naked Gun movies were funny, and we certainly, I mean, every time I rented a Hertz rental car, OJ went to the airport. You can't help yourself. And then there's the post Bronco chase, Ford Bronco. You can't see a Ford Bronco without thinking about OJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of tragic. Now, I'm going to ask this question because, you know, it's time. Do you think now that he's gone that he did it? I'll start. I'll go around the room. I'll start with you first, Keith. Do you think he did it? Yes or no?
Nah, OJ didn't do it. That's right. Hell
yeah, he did it.
Hell no. That's the juice, man. Remember, when they asked him about his shoes, what he said on the trial? I wear the cheap ass shoes. I wear Bruno Magli. Juice ain't do that. That's what's in his footprints. They set him up. You know, I don't think, honestly, I don't think the Juice did it. Do I, now ask, do I think he knows who did it? And maybe, I would say yes to that.
Yes, I agree with Dirk.
I would say yes to that. I don't think he physically had his hands where he did it. But do he know? And maybe he put things into motion. I can go 90% because she taking his money. He told her, yo, you can't be taking my money and laying up with this dude. I don't want to hear he's your fitness instructor, whoever. I'm going to keep telling you the same thing over here when I come to see these kids, you know. And you know how black man, you know, Matt Barnes and them kids, man, you know, when these kids gone, somebody getting their ass kicked. So, you know, Juice, I'm not going to say he physically did it, but I do believe he knows who did it. There's no doubt in my mind.
It's my take. I do believe, I agree with you and Keith. I do believe that he was present at some point after the murders. I do believe those are his footprints because they show him in the Bruno Magli shoes. Mm-hmm. I do believe that he knows who killed his wife, his ex-wife, and Ron Goldman. I do believe that.
Yes.
I believed it for a long time. The son, Jason, to me, is the most likely suspect because his reaction when it was all said and done was way different than everybody else's reaction. His reaction was different than the daughter's reaction. His reaction was different than Mama OJ's reaction. His reaction was different than everybody else. He was like, you know, bawling and crying and losing it because I believe that OJ said, you know what, I know, Dad, I did something horrible. What do you mean you did something horrible? I'll be right there. Oh, shit. What the hell did you do? Mm-hmm. The people that talk about it, the detectives that did the investigation for the defense, you know, there's a lot of things that were just not right. The skull, the there was dog hair in the so-called watch cap, the knit cap that he wore. Mm-hmm. They never checked. OJ didn't own the dog. His son owned the dog. Mm-hmm. Everything, the footprint size, the shoe print size was not OJ's size. Mm-hmm. OJ got big hands and big feet and a giant size head.
Oh, that head.
So, yeah, I mean, and you know, they also talk about the fact that this man was really arthritic. OJ could barely walk or run. He couldn't even pick up his little daughter, Sydney, at the recital. You see that, you know, he gets her halfway up. He's like, I got to put you down.
Right.
That's the dude that's going to fight a third-degree black belt, kick his ass, and then stab the wife. And apparently, there was another. They didn't allow it or something like that, but there was somebody else who was killed in a similar fashion, Colombian necktie, where it slipped from one ear to the other and pulled the tongues through the neck. That's a Colombian necktie. That's how they were both killed.
Damn.
Pair of pliers in through the slit, and you pull the tongue out to the other side. That's how they. That's what they said. Both were nearly decapitated, but that was the look that the police saw. And then Mark Furman, when they asked if you planted evidence, Mark Furman said, I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. He pleaded the 5th every time they asked him about planting evidence. So there's something. There was the case. I remember at the time, I thought, wow, this is really, really funky. I know the DNA. They even talk about the socks where the blood went from one side of the sock to the other. If you wear a pair of socks, a drop of blood can't go from the right side to the left side if you in them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parts of that. I can understand why people are mad. I understand why Mark believes that without a shadow of a doubt, OJ killed Nicole. And he may have. I would have thought that at some point he would have just said, you know what, you know, deathbed confession.
Yeah.
He took that to
him. I think he did do it, but if you told me all those things, I think he did do it because I think the rage of an abuser, a spouse of an abuser, can have you do things that you didn't think you were able to do. It's sort of the equivalency of the mother who's distressed when the car falls on the kid and suddenly she's lifting the car. That kind of deal. I know he's arthritic and all that stuff, but that's not adrenaline is an incredible drug, but would I be blown away if he had knowledge of somebody else doing it? No. because, you know, it none of those things seem impossible to me. I think he did it. If he didn't do it, he's around the corner. He knows. He's aware of it. And yes,
I believe that.
But I could believe either one with, you know, a 51-49 or 50-50 percentage. Right. And I wouldn't, and if you told me, I'd be like, okay, fine. You know, it's sort of like, so it's like, it's not shocking. But we're never going to know. And apparently, you know, it's dead now.
Well, we'll see when they leave the money, if how much money is left to Chloe, then we'll know at least that part. How much of that estate Chloe get. Because that's apparently the rumor that OJ is actually Chloe's father, because yeah. Chloe's like...
But she does look like him.
She looks like... And Chloe's a giant. You ever seen, yeah, you ever see the other two Kardashians? They tiny.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know?
Even Rob is tiny. Chloe's standing out there like she's 6'3" and, you know, could run, you know, the 40 and 4'4", you know. So, yeah.
A little dicey, that family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it's somebody pointed out something the other day I thought was odd. Do you realize that everyone, with the exception of, think of Barry Schenck and the other guy that was part of the defense team, has died of cancer? Just about.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Johnny Cochran.
Right.
Kardashian. Ethelie Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dershowitz is still alive, and I think Schenck and the other guy is still alive, and I think probably
was it all the same cancer, or was it just cancer?
Different cancers.
Cancer. Okay. And I didn't realize that.
Right. Yeah. So
you know, that's like a mom move. And that's like Goodfellas. You know, once they get you off, you got to start putting them in meat lockers. Always say put them in meat lockers. He's putting them in cancer lockers.
Yeah, everybody's going. So something happened. Before we cut out, there's one more topic I definitely want to cut back, talk about, because we just about missed, I guess, the beginning of World War III, because Saturday night, you know, and it's funny, my son was watching the mixed martial arts, what is that?
MMA.
MMA, yeah, and UFC. He was watching UFC on Saturday night, but I was watching to see whether or not there would be a Sunday morning, because you know, the Iranians. Now this is the most polite war I've ever seen in my life. Israel attacks the Iranian embassy in Syria, kills a bunch of Iranian generals. The Iranians said, oh, okay, all right, you attack us according to UN Charter. We have the right to defend ourselves. We are going to retaliate. They gave them a time and everything. You know, and they launched all these drones, gave them plenty of time to let them know that this is what's going to happen. And then they tell Israel, now, we all good if you don't hit us back. Mm-hmm. You know, now, we all brothers and siblings. Y'all know how that works. All right, I'm going to hit you. Don't hit me back. But that last hit stings enough, you know, it ain't over.
I got to get you back.
Right.
I got to get you back. I know what we agreed to, but I got to get you back. But when I was listening and they intercepted all of the drones, and I'm like, okay, you didn't want to do no real damage, but want to let them know that, you know, you can't push me around. But if I'm Israel, not only am I pushing you around, I got to come see you. You know, you're supposed to let that slide with what I did, man. You know, and then from what they said, the United States also helped out Israel with intercepting some of those bombs, too.
The United States and the British all shot down the majority of those drones.
Yeah.
Because the actual Iron Dome was overwhelmed.
Right. Yes. Like it's called allies. They all need each other for whatever reason it may be.
Hope gas don't go up. Can we get oil through?
Shoot. No, gas is going up, brother. Gas don't
gas is definitely going up, yeah.
30% since these wars have started.
Why they couldn't do this in the wintertime when I ain't moving around? Shit, man. As soon as the weather get nice, 70 degrees, man, I gotta go out the market.
Just think about it. The United States was just mad at Israel for what they were doing to the people in
Gaza. Palestine, yeah.
In Gaza.
Gaza, yeah.
But now they joined forces against Iran, which has me kind of mystified here, because I'm trying to figure out what it's about, but then I realize it's about money, having allies in certain countries that you may need if there comes to be a fight, you're going to need these people. So right now, I'm not going to be mad at you right now. We're going to take care of these people, but then we're going to send you this package of all this money and missiles, whatever you need to fight them.
But then, one of the things that the United States did say in response was, all right, you know what? You hit them, they hit you back. If you decide to hit them again, you on your own. Don't look for us to intervene.
Yeah, but they don't send them all this money and you know, stuff for war, you know, bombs and stuff. So if they do hit them again, now this time we're going to hit y'all harder than we hit you the first time. Now they're going to have two wars going on in Gaza. And then with what you calling them?
Iran.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's just
what they don't want. What Israel doesn't want, what they really don't want, and that's why Biden is telling BB on the low. Listen, man,
chill.
You're gonna have to give up the ghost. You got to go. You're gonna have to, you know, step down. You know, tell us you want to spend more time with your family. Right. You know that kind of that routine. You got to go because Israel decides they want to attack Iran. They have to realize that the northern part of Israel, the Palestinian, other Palestinian territory, is Hezbollah. And the last time Israel's IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, went at Hezbollah, they fought to a draw. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to have Iranian-backed Hezbollah on the north, and then there's going to be some other foolishness coming from Hamas in the south, and then you're going to have the Iranian military proper saying, oh, okay, it's on. We're going to do this. Now, I don't think the Iranian military is as well equipped as Israel, but it's a numbers game at this point. So, and that's the problem. If Israel goes down, they have what they call the Samson response. And the Samson response is, you know, you all saw the movie. You know what happened with Delilah is, you know, this last moment, you know, Samson prays and, you know, tears down the temple. Well, the Samson response for the Israeli government is nuclear arms. If it looks like we're going to go under, hitting the button.
Wow.
You're blowing up everybody. Going. And everybody. If they launch, then other people are going to say, oh, wait a second. I guess we all have, you know, I got some too. So right. Then it will become a major issue. So I'm just saying, I mean, you know, this, got to think about it, man. We had earthquake, solar eclipse, damn near, you know, World War III, all in like, what, a week?
And isn't Russia still fighting with Ukraine?
Ukraine still,
yeah. They still beefing?
Yeah, so, and China wants Taiwan back. So all of this is just, I mean, right now, it's hot out there.
It's hot in these streets.
They're going warriors come out to play.
Because we talk, you don't get the coverage being with Israel now that we was getting with Ukraine and Russia, but I never heard a resolution. And the last thing we talked about was the guy who got killed in the Russian prison.
Right.
And Putin had something to do with this. And then of course he gets reelected again by a landslide because you take out the competition, but they still going at it. And now this is crazy.
Yes. The world is a legitimate powder keg right now because all of this can go horribly wrong. You know, I think you hit on it. You said that, United States was beefing at Israel for not allowing the aid to go into Gaza.
Right.
And the world really, the world has turned its back on Israel based on the way, with the way they're treating the Palestinians in Gaza. The world's turned its back on them. The world is saying, no, hell no, this is bullshit. We can't, none of us can support that.
Right, it's not humane.
So the only people really standing tough with them was the United States. And even the United States is going, yo, you know what?
This is a bad look, money. Man.
Yeah, exactly. You jamming us up here. Jamming us up with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so you got that. And so what do you think is happening? All the rest of the world, all these other powers, China is watching. China's saying, well, what y'all going to do exactly? Because you know what? We've been wanting Taiwan for a minute. We're building up our military. Mm-hmm. And maybe we might just decide to go take it, you know? So this could all go to shit before the end of the summer.
Damn.
You know,
I think Big Bruh gave us some more information where the three of us will go to war. If that milk situation gets out of control, because I'm still doing Bosco and, you know, Hershey syrup, you know, they gonna have a problem out of me. I don't know how y'all feel about it. It's gonna be a situation,
wow.
man.
There's a callback for you, Bosco. Wow,
Bosco, remember Bosco?
Yeah, yeah. I seen that today. In fact, you know, I
yes,
seen Bosco today.
It's gonna be a real problem. I was okay
get,
when the
get,
age
get in the squeeze bottle, get the squeeze bottle,
I squeeze no, bottle, and then that, I lick it with
glass,
the syrup and put it on my vanilla
bottle.
Ice cream.
I've seen
on
it
the glass bottle where you gotta wait for a day for it to come out.
And right. Keith, if you see that one, Keith, get that for me because the one I got is plastic, man.
Okay, then
take me back to the good old. We apologize, audience, but. There's three of us, you know, Mark, me, and the supervisor, we can all drink milk. And then there's another guy who need a roll of toilet paper in the bathroom if he smell it.
Do you drink lactate or do you drink, what do you do? What do you
no,
drink?
I don't drink no milk at all.
But you grew up with milk. When did this happen?
This maybe happened maybe 15 years ago.
Was it bad milk or just milk?
No, it's just milk.
And what were you? Were you put it on your cereal? And
I had
on
my cereal, and I went to work, and
you know,
you get the beads of spit going down the line.
Oh my!
And you got passages on the bus.
No.
Oh wow!
I pulled over by the 88 precinct on the Cal.
Yeah, in Clarkson.
In Clarkson with a full load. Tell people will be back.
Everybody, get off!
Yeah, are you serious?
I had to go.
Was that
and they let you go up in the precinct?
Yep, they let me go up in the precinct.
Did you, have you been tested, or did you just that one and done? You thought that's what the
deal. No. Anytime I drink milk, this happens.
Oh, wow.
Even
I never knew that.
Even certain ice cream, I can eat Cold Stone ice cream and don't have a problem. But any other ice cream I eat, I'm running.
So Baskin Robbins or Haagen-Dazs, anybody else?
No, that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
We've all been there, but that's got to be rough.
I got a question. Was it worse than when you ate those White Castle? You had to go in the Subway.
Was it worse than that? It was worse.
That for the audience, when we were kids, we're coming from Queens and we get some White Castles. My brother's guts has always been weak. So he has to go inside the Subway and he asks me to wait in there with him.
No. Let me give him some more background. I wasn't even there, but let me just tell you.
Go ahead.
New York City subway bathrooms. New York City subway bathrooms are like the stuff of horror movie legend.
That's my phobia.
You cannot walk in there by yourself.
Yeah, I was there for
God
a second.
God knows who's going to be up in there with you.
That's true. Yeah.
Full disclosure, I was a kid. I was there, but then two other guys came in. I said, I got to get the hell out of here.
Wow.
There's no need for us to get both of us in here. And if it was worse than that, it was bad.
Yeah,
more milk for you,
man. I had to pull over the bus.
Wow.
Wow. You know, you're just so pissed off people who late for work and everything because you can't drink milk.
And you come out like, when you got to the bus, what you doing? Just forehead.
Wow, man.
You
ate breakfast, drove to work, so.
It didn't kick until I got on the bus and started driving down the line.
So you hit probably like about within an hour or 2 hours? Probably about 2 hours, right? By the time you really.
About an hour.
Wow, that's quick.
So let me ask this question. Did you make eye contact with anybody when you got back to the bus?
No. I don't want to say, let's go. Let's go.
Was they staring at you hard? Could you feel them staring at the back of your head when you got inside the driver's seat?
What happened? Why he had to go in the precinct or something? Exactly. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Never ceases to amaze me.
This is what y'all are missing if you have not subscribed to Power to the People. If you have not subscribed, make sure you do, because I'm sure this is not the last of these stories we're going to share. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can get us. You can ask Alexa to play Power to the People, the latest episode. She'll pull it right up. You can find us on social media at Facebook, Power to the People on Facebook. There's an action button there. If you go to the page and you just click the button, you can listen to the latest podcast, which will be this one. You can also find us on X at Power to the Peeps, POWELL, the number 2, the letters DA. PEEPS, Power to the Peeps on X. You can find us all on Instagram, but you'll find us back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll see you then. Peace.
Peace.